Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Take a listen to Independent Senator Gerard Crockwell. He was talking to Pat Kenny a little earlier today about pay restoration and expenses for politicians.
Well, let's be honest about it. TDs and senators are very well paid now. TD is on around about 117,000. The senator is on about 82,000. So the salary side does not need adjustment of any sort. We're tied to a public service grade. I think it's principal officer. Do remember, principal officer starts at about 114,000 a year, rising to 148,000.
Are you saying that you don't want the salary elements of FEMPI unwound for politicians?
Salary has been unwound as far as it can be, and I don't want any increase in salary for politicians. I merely want the final part of FEMPI restored, which is the incremental credit. And there are only two increments involved, with a maximum payout, I think, of 6,000 a year for a TD and possibly about 4,000 for a senator when you get both increments. It's a principle that I'm very much committed to.
Yeah, Gerard Crockwell chatting to Pat earlier. Kate O'Connell, former Fine Gael TD pharmacist, is joining me here on Lunchtime Live today. Is it a fair request, Kate?
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Andrea, good afternoon. Good, very well, thank you.
Good.
Sure, look, I mean, you'd nearly pass out listening to that. It's so tone deaf and so out of touch with, I suppose, reality. When you read the article in this morning's Examiner, It's laid out that, you know, it's like there's victims here that haven't, FEMPI hasn't been unwound for. And in terms of incremental payments, I mean, they really add up at 6,000 a year, which I'm assuming as a lump sum would be tax free on retirement. These are significant payments. And if you look at 82,000 versus the average industrial wage, and also what families are suffering in terms of cost of living crisis and general cost of living expenses, particularly at this time of the year, it's just unbelievably tone deaf. But I think it's worth noting who benefits from this and what electorate it is. So the electorate that puts people into the Senate, broadly speaking, are members of the council and the Oireachtas that will ultimately benefit from this idea.
Would it be fair to Gerard? He's not talking about, you know, any change at all to the TD salaries, and he mentioned that. I suppose he's talking about the expenses, but your expenses in the main have to be vouched for, don't they? Like, you need documentation,
absolutely,
you need the receipts to claim them anyway.
So there's allowances made, and there's allowances for secretarial assistance and staffing. And in terms of senators, it's somewhat different because my understanding is you represent the country. So in terms of constituency office, that has been well ventilated in the past. Mm. The funding for that is tricky and all that because your office is Dublin based. But, I'm a community pharmacist operating a business where people are subject to the pay rise or the cost rises of running business, and the customers are experiencing in all stores cost increases. And as those pharmacists, we are one of the groups that FEMPI hasn't been unwound for, and we're awaiting a new contract, and we look forward to that, those talks starting. But in terms of trying to seek sympathy for politicians' pay, I just think this is completely misguided. But perhaps there's a broader angle here. Perhaps Mr. Crockwell is going to seek a run at the Oireachtas or seek to speak to those that have nominations within their powers.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. To be fair, he's not here to answer that either. But I suppose, I mean, the point he did make, and to be fair to Gerard, he talked about the FEMPI legislation and the financial emergency measures that were introduced, of course, during the crash, since back in 2009. At this stage, I think, since it was brought in for all public servants, and if other civil servants have had, you know, their allowances and pay restoration, if that's happened for them, it's probably not fair to, you know, to not hold back and not give it to everybody.
Well, absolutely. Somebody has to represent the poor politicians. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, if Gerard wants to take up that position, absolutely, it's within his rights. I mean, does it come down to who you represent and what is a democracy? And who should that body of people deserve this much, I suppose, noise around the issue when there are so many people? It's in the papers every day, and for those of us that are engaged in current affairs, it's the real issue now, with people not being able to make ends meet and a salary of 117,000 or 82,000 with or without increments is an enormous salary compared to what many families have coming into their homes.
Would you know off the top of your head, and look, and I appreciate, Kate, maybe perhaps it has changed even since you were in Dáil Éireann, but in terms of the expenses, and I had a quick look through some of the different subsistence allowances earlier today. I mean, I thought nearly all of them, bar one, had to be vouched for. Am I right in that?
Absolutely. So there's phone allowances and travel, but obviously, you know, things like distance. Somebody from West Kerry is going to have far more, and rightly so, travel allowance than someone based in Dublin 6 or whatever. So that's all laid out, and it's very clear. And in terms of, you know, grants, when one gets elected initially, you know, to set up shop, as it were, as an elected person or as within their office, that's all very clearly laid out. So it's very transparent now what's available to people, and it's publicly available. But my understanding is that it happened before my own time, that the cuts were fairly severe and made huge differences to the take-home pay and the pension entitlements in particular. And there was a sum of money, contribution to pensions changed around FEMPI. So the whole setup changed. And I'd argue, in terms of politicians, it gave better value for money for ultimately the taxpayer, who is the payer of the bill here.
Tracy's with us on the line. Kate, stay with us if you can for a few moments. Tracy, you're a carer, is that right?
Yep, for my daughter Willow, who's 8.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, of course. Yeah. How are you?
We've met several times. Good. Yeah,
and you know, the idea of, I suppose, the pre-crash, the pre-economic crash, legislative changes being altered for politicians. Would you agree with that?
No. Everybody suffered in the crash, and many people never recovered from that, and especially the disability sector and carers. I mean, you know, the resources were significantly cut from the disability sector, and we've never got back there. And you know the crisis that's faced every day by especially children with disabilities not being able to access supports and services, and families really, really struggling financially without disability in the home. I mean, like, it's polar opposites at times, and the divide is increasing day after day. And senators and TDs are on a significant salary. Mm. Family carers are really struggling, and 69% of carers find it really difficult to make ends meet. The cost of disability in the home is significant, averaging around an extra €250 a week. And the maximum carers allowance is €260, and that's means tested. And not every carer can access carers allowance. So when you hear this coming on the radio, you just say, are you, you know, kind of in touch with reality? The cost of living crisis is affecting every single family, not just carers. But I mean, you know, I
it's the shopping trolley.
I had a career. I had a very good salary. Willow suffered a brain injury at birth, and my life changed overnight. And when you're vulnerable and looking for support and you can't access it because of means testing, you go from, you know, one direction to another, and then you hear this, you know, in a time where people are really, really struggling and facing into a winter when they know the price of fuel, the price of shopping, everything is significantly higher. People are trying to get their kids back to school. It's really expensive. You know, we don't pay for books now, but I went out the other day just to buy the stationery list, and I spent €140 for two children. What are families with four or five kids facing? So, you know, when you look at it in the context of, and I say that in inverted commas, normal people living, it's just vulgar that he would express that, you know, publicly, to be honest.
So what about you, Jason? Jason's with us on the line today. Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Andrea. I'd reiterate most of what the two previous callers have said and agree with it. I find Senator Caldwell to be tone deaf, as was already said. I mean, he's been a senator since 2014, and what's even a little bit more insidious about his suggestions is that he thinks it should be targeted for long-term senators and politicians. So he's even narrowing it down to his own little pot.
Well, I suppose to be fair to him, I think it's more a case of they're the people that are there the longest are the ones most affected by it, I suppose.
So he's talking about himself.
Well, he could well be. He's including
himself in that. Yeah. That's my point.
So you think that it shouldn't? We shouldn't change. There should be no change to the FEMPI regulations for.
I've been in business for 25 years. My company has survived foot and mouth. It has survived the BSE crisis. It survived COVID. I've taken 50% cuts in my salary throughout those times. Mm-hmm. I've actually had no salary at one time just to keep my employees in jobs. I struggled with a disability all my life. I was diagnosed with a cardiac condition at 21.
Okay.
I had a cardiac arrest at 48. And when I actually needed something from the state, I was told, sorry, your wife earns too much money. So, you know, the disabled people out there, I also have a disabled child, a child with special needs. My wife is a carer, but yet she's not even recognized and she's also working. There are people out there really struggling today. I'm not including myself here, but there are people out there struggling today who are trying to find ends meet. And this gentleman has come along. I mean, it smacks to me of Charlie Haughey in the 80s telling the country that we need to tighten our belts while he's buying Charvet.
Yeah, sure. I know. I take the point, you know, around like it's, you know, a lot of people, I suppose, feel it's a bit antagonizing today to hear this around politicians' expenses. Rachel's with us. Rachel, good afternoon.
Hi, Andrea.
How are you? Got in touch about this?
I'm actually furious listening to him. Furious. I'm exactly like the other two callers. I'm a carer to two special needs kids. And with my circumstances with them, I haven't got the option at all of working, at all. Do you know that way? Like one child, I'm with him 23 hours a day because he's only in school for an hour. And it's absolutely infuriating when I hear this. They only gave themselves a pay rise a while ago. So there's the reason he's not looking for the pay rise that he's quipping on about. But this infuriates me. In the sense that they're willing to so openly, no bother, throw this money at them. But when it comes to the likes of disability service, pensioners, vulnerable people, they're looking after people that need it. Oh my God, it's a
thing of expenses. And look,
I mean, tell you here and now, for any carer, any person on disability, any person like a pensioner, when I say if you are a euro over, they will whip it off you so quick and you will be punished for it. But they
Jason's point there, you know, talking about his wife being, you know, like that when he had, you know, was sick or unwell, that basically her earnings are obviously taken into account because the whole setup of the family or the house is means tested and that'll dictate whether or not the carer's allowance is allocated to your home. So,
and I'm not joking, Andrew, when I say the hoops you have to jump through just applying when I say it's so stressful. My son is 15, he's going 16, and I just had to apply for disability allowance for him. Like, he can't fill out the forms or anything. When I say the stress of that alone and what you get paid for it, like, if I'm not joking, if I got an extra 6,000 euros a year, I think I was at the winning blow. I know that might sound extreme, but I would.
No, sure,
like,
I know.
When I struggle, literally, when I say I don't have the luxury of being able to go out and get all these things. Like, I have to live week to week based on what I get from them because I don't have the option of walking at the moment. Do you know the way? Like, I bring my son to school. I wait at the school for the hour. Mm-hmm. I bring him home from school. So
And you're not able to vouch expense. You know, you can't, I suppose, send in a tot of the expense of going from the house to the hospital and the school and back to the hospital and back to you're not sending that expense anywhere.
Now, here's another one for you, actually, about the expense part, right? So my daughter, apart from her special needs, she also has scoliosis and kyphosis. So her kyphosis is very severe, 75 degrees. She needs surgery. We're waiting for that, right? So at the moment, because we're going to school, she was getting the special needs transport. She couldn't sit in the car anymore because she kind of had to be up straight. She wasn't able to. She was in a lot of pain. So it ended up I had to bring her then. So I applied for the special needs transport grant. When I say I applied for that in February, we're in August and I still haven't been approved for that. And that is a measly couple of hundred euros.
It's the reality.
This isn't a choice that I'm sitting at. I'd love nothing more, and I've said this over and over again, I'd love nothing more than to be out working. Do you know what I mean? Providing for my kids, being able to do it more than we can. Circumstances are, I can't. I'm not going to quit about it. I love my kids. I'll do what I can for them. I'll do everything in my power. But this isn't something that I, this isn't, say, the life I decided, woke up one morning and said, this is how it's going to be. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? These are the circumstances. I'm not saying poor me, because I can tell you there's thousands of other people 100 times worse off than me and in similar boats. Do you know what I mean? And I understand that. But for politicians to sit there and quit the vow, say, what's an extra 6,000 euros a year at least on top of everything else, and then they won't literally go into a budget which revenue confirmed with a 7.6% increase in this time of the year alone compared to last year. And they're saying they won't help with a cost of living budget to the people that need it. And they want to run and get
yeah, it's with the voucher expenses. Yeah, okay. Well, look, Rachel, thanks for getting in touch with us today. Andrew, you want to make just a brief point on this too? Have I got Andrew? How are you, Andrew?
No, not too bad. Yeah, no, just listening to all that there. Yeah, look, I mean, I know he's only talking about one particular increment, but to be fair, you know, they are very well paid in the round, TDs, you know, compared to, and senators, I mean, a TD in Ireland compared to the UK, for example, I think they get about 117k a year. In the UK, it's 97 plus benefits plus defined benefit pensions. So really, I don't think it's a deserving case for restoring an increment, quite frankly. So,
emergency circumstances, you know, economic changes in the country dictated it at the time back in 2007 or 2008, 2009.
Long since restored.
Yeah.
You know, long since restored to high levels. And, I would love it if I was getting that kind of money and pension and all the rest of it. So I think they're doing pretty well. And to be fair, I haven't heard anyone else raise it, but I've only just come into this today. So, look, I just don't think it's something that is going to happen, to be honest. I would be very surprised.
No, well, you can hear from the discussion today, there's little desire, I can assure you, from our texters here and former TD Kate O'Connell as well, shared those views too. Listener tells me, I was talking to an older lady earlier on today. She's a set budget for her weekly shop, and she was telling me that the mince that she used to buy for her spaghetti bolognese has increased from €2.20 to now €10 in a year. It's madness. She's on the state pension and she has to budget accordingly. Accordingly, everybody else should have to do the same too. 087-1400-106 is the WhatsApp number. Tracy, Jason, Andrew, Rachel, thanks a million for sharing your thoughts. And as I said, pharmacist Kate O'Connell there also.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.